Let's look at that passage in Romans 6. My text will begin in verse 15, actually, and then going on over to mainly verses 17 and 18 concerning that form of doctrine, where he said, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. And I've preached on this several times. It's been a while, but I've been thinking about this for quite some time because of statements that I read or hear on the internet from people who claim to be Christian, where they are putting a negative view or negative connotation on Christian doctrine. And I've got a friend out in Oregon. Lord willing, in April, I'm going to be going out there to preach. And one of the members of the church out there, we talk quite often. He used to be a member of the church in Ashland when I was pastor up there. And he'll call me and he'll say, is this the troublemaker? And the thing about it is, and he means it affectionately, I call him the tree hugger. But he means it affectionately. But one of the things that has gotten me into trouble in the past was I don't necessarily bow to the words and phrases of men when I believe it's sort of misleading from the scriptures. And let me give you some of the phrases that I've heard. I could spend a whole message doing nothing about this. This is how bad it is. But talking about doctrine. Now, you know the word doctrine. You know what it means? It means teaching. A doctrine is something that is taught. There are the doctrines of men, which are wrong, but then there's the doctrine of God, what God teaches his people. But I used to hear this statement that somebody would say, you don't arrive at Christ through doctrine, you arrive at doctrine through Christ. Now think about that. How does the Holy Spirit bring a sinner to Christ? Is it some kind of a mystical feeling, emotion? No, it's through the preaching of the gospel, the doctrine. You're not going to know anything about Christ apart from doctrine. Who is he? Who is Jesus Christ? Well, he's God in human flesh. That's the doctrine of his incarnation, the doctrine of his person. So that's a misleading statement. You know, it sounds good on the surface. But here's another one. Somebody said, doctrine does not save a sinner. Christ saves sinners. Well, technically, that's true. Christ is our Savior. But Christ saves, brings his people to himself in the experience of salvation through what? Through the teaching, the revelation of doctrine, right doctrine. Now, does that mean that when he gets through bringing you to himself, you know every doctrine perfectly? No, but you know the gospel. Somebody asked me one time, said, do you have a perfect doctrine? I said, no, but I have a perfect gospel. I'll preach it to you and you find a flaw in it. If it's the gospel now, the true gospel, the true teaching of God. I had a friend of mine, he said, I just don't want to preach dead cold doctrine. I said, well, now find me in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation where there's any description of the doctrine of Christ that calls it dead and cold. You won't find it. It's not there. In fact, I challenge you. Do this. Look it up. Do a word search. Anytime you see true doctrine in the scripture, is there any negative connotation put to it at all? And there's not. I said, the problem is not dead cold doctrine. The problem is dead cold hearts. That's the problem, isn't it? We're the problem. Somebody said, I don't want to preach doctrine. I want to preach Christ. Well, that's why I read that passage in Deuteronomy. If you just thinking about it. When he said in Deuteronomy chapter 32, he said, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew and as the small rain upon the tender earth and the showers upon the grass because, now this is his doctrine, I will publish, pronounce, preach the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you who God is. That's good doctrine, isn't it? I'm going to ascribe greatness unto our God. That's what our doctrine does. Whether the cold, dead heart believes it or not. He is the rock. He's my foundation. His work is perfect. I'm going to talk to you about what Christ has done, what God has done for sinners through Christ in saving us by His mercy and His grace. That's good doctrine. Don't you like that doctrine? I love it. God in His sovereignty, God, the God of election. If God the Holy Spirit has revealed to you the doctrine of your sinfulness, I guarantee you, you'll love the doctrine of election. Because you know if He hadn't chosen you, you would never have chosen Him. The doctrine of the person of Christ, the doctrine of the finished work of Christ. Isn't that good doctrine? His work is perfect. All His ways are judgment, righteous. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. That's what I want to hear. Somebody says, well, I don't want to preach doctrine. Well, what do you want to preach? I tell you, if you don't preach doctrine, I'd be just standing up here, just keep my mouth shut. Is that right? Silence. But doctrine is truth. Doctrine is truth. And Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. You know, when He finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount, you know what they said? Matthew 7:28. It says, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. They were astonished at what He taught. Because He didn't teach them like the Pharisees. Doctrine is not a dirty word, folks. Somebody says doctrine divides. Well, that's true. If I preach doctrine is true and you preach a lie, we're divided. Isn't that right? In Luke 4:32, when Luke related what Christ had said on the Sermon on the Mount, here's the way he put it. They were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. Authority. Authority. Matthew 9:35. Let me just read some. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Teaching and preaching the gospel. The gospel. John 7:16. When they were questioning Him, He answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And I could go on and on and on about this in Scripture. Do you know the Bible teaches that the only way we can know any person is sent of God, any preacher, is by the doctrine he preaches? 2 John 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So that if there's any that come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker, a participant, a fellowship, a partner of his evil deeds. Paul wrote to the Galatians, if they come preaching any other gospel, what is that? Any other doctrine than that which I preached unto you? Again, we could go on and on with scriptures that relate this. Somebody told me one time, he said, you're preaching the gospel, but you're not preaching from your heart. That's what he told me. And I said, well, first of all, what gives you the idea that you can judge my heart? I know this. I preach it every time I get up to preach, every opportunity I have by God's grace. He said, well, I don't want to just preach doctrine. I want to preach to my heart, from my heart to the hearts of people. Well, you can't do the work of the Holy Spirit, friend. Neither can I. I can preach it to you. I can't make you believe it. I can't give you life. By nature, what are we? We're dead in trespasses and sin. No preacher can give you life. Only God can do that. I'll tell you, if a preacher truly believes the gospel, truly believes in Christ, he'll speak from his heart. And as far as the people to him, if he speaks to their hearts, that's the work of God, not the preacher. Now, the Bible says a lot about false doctrine. You remember Christ told his disciples, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. They thought he was talking about bread and didn't understand him. And then later on they said, well, now we understand. He's talking about their doctrine. I heard a preacher say this one time about the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, in doctrine they were straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. In doctrine they were not straight, friend. They were a perverse and crooked generation. Their doctrine wasn't straight. Their doctrine was a lie. It was a false gospel. Well, look here. Look at verse 15 of Romans chapter 6. The apostle, he's been speaking about how believers are justified before God through the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. And he says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? We're not condemned. The law does not condemn us. The law cannot condemn us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is that an excuse to sin in any way? No. He says, you're not under the law. You're under grace. You stand before God, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in his righteousness. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ. And he says in verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. That's obvious, isn't it? Whether of sin and you say, if you're a servant of the law, trying to work your way into God's favor, trying to earn, that's whose servant you are. You're not God's servant. But whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, seeking to follow Christ. But look at verse 17. But God be thanked. Now here's where we come to. That you were the servants of sin. Now what is a servant of sin? I'll tell you exactly. Now don't relegate that only to the immoral, perverted segment of society. Those who are in the prisons. Those who are just obviously perverted. A servant of sin is any sinner who is in the darkness of unbelief, without Christ. Spiritually fallen in Adam, born dead in trespasses and sin, coming forth from the womb speaking lies, without hope, without Christ. That's a servant of sin. I don't care how you look outside. I don't care if you go to a church somewhere. I don't care if you're trying to earn your way into God's favor by keeping every commandment. If you don't know Christ, if you don't believe in him, you're a servant, a slave to sin. Is that right? You can be a model citizen and still be an unbeliever. That's a servant of sin. So no matter where you come from or what kind of lifestyle you led, without Christ, you're a servant of sin. And that's what you still, and that word sin is the most common word in the New Testament for sin. It means you missed the mark. You can be trying hard and be sincere, but you miss the mark. Why? Because the mark is perfection. The mark is perfect righteousness. The perfect righteousness of the law that can only be found in Christ. Now there it is. He is it. Isn't that right? It's not in you. It's not in me. It's not in the preacher. It's not in the denomination. It's not in works. It's not in our decision. It's in Christ. And outside of him, there's none righteous, no, not one. So you were the servants of sin. Now, he says, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Now, another alternative interpretation, and it really doesn't contradict what's said here, is this. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And what he's talking about is that all of God's chosen people, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, all whom Christ lived and died, was buried and arose again, all whom he redeemed, God's going to bring them, gather them under the preaching of this doctrine. Who put you under the preaching of the gospel? Who put me under it? Oh, it's just a flip of the coin. No. God, purposely. Christ said, I know my sheep. They'll follow me. He seeks his sheep. He finds them. He brings them into the fold. And that's what this is talking about. Now, that form of doctrine, the gospel, will be delivered to you in preaching or in communication somehow. God's going to communicate the gospel to his children by the power of the Spirit. But he says, to which you were delivered. So what you have here, first of all, is the right doctrine and the right heart. What do you say? You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. That word form there is an interesting word. You know what it means? It's like a die, a stamp. It's a pattern. In fact, it's translated pattern, for example, in other passages. It's like a identifying mark. It's what it is. The form of sound words Paul wrote about it. That form. You remember when Thomas said in his doubt, he said, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands, that word print, same word that's used here, form. A mark. In the book of Titus, it's called a pattern of good works. In the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Moses giving, how God gave him instructions to make the tabernacle. And in Hebrews chapter 5, he said, make it according to the pattern which I showed you on the mount. That's the word form, pattern. So this word form is not just some shapeless idea. It's not some elusive butterfly. It's not some opinion that can't be nailed down. It's a specific identifying mark that he's talking about. That does what? That identifies his people. And what is this doctrine that he's talking about that was that you were delivered to? It's the gospel. That's what it is. It's the doctrine of Christ. Paul had written all about it up to this point. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is good. This doctrine is good news. For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the gospel of your salvation, he called it in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That's the identification mark. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the truth of God, who God is in his sovereignty, his justice, his grace, his mercy, his power. It tells us about the love of God in Christ. How he sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. It speaks of the truth of our sin and our depravity, our spiritual deadness without life from God. How we have no hope in ourselves. How we have no righteousness, no goodness, no desire. It speaks of that. When somebody gets up before a crowd and speaks of the free will of man or a spark of goodness in man, are they preaching the doctrine of the gospel? The answer is no. This word doesn't teach that. The word here teaches that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood. Somebody may ask, do you understand all things? No, but I understand what God wants me to understand. The Bible says the Son of God hath come and give us an understanding that we may know him that is true. I think about old Philip going out there on the backside of the desert, seeing that Ethiopian, reading the book of Isaiah chapter 53, hearing it, and Philip came up to him. He says, what do you feel about that scripture? He didn't say that, did he? Well, what's your opinion on that? Or does that make you emotional when you read that? No, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I? Except somebody sent of God show me. Who's he talking about here? What's he done? Who'd he do it for? These are all doctrines of the gospel, you see. The truth of Christ and salvation by him, his blood alone cleanses us from all sin. When somebody gets up and says, now you're not saved until you get baptized back here, are they preaching the doctrine of Christ? The answer is no. If they talk about Christ died, God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, now it's up to you, you make the difference, is that the doctrine of the gospel? No. The doctrine of his righteousness, the righteousness of God, which is the ground of our salvation, the source of our life, the worthiness of our existence before God, the truth of God-given faith. For by grace are you saved, through faith, but that's not of yourselves, that's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The truth of repentance. How God, through the doctrine of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, changes our mind concerning his way, his person, his glory. So you have the right doctrine here. It's the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. What was the Jewish problem back in Paul's day? Romans chapter 9. They sought righteousness, but they didn't attain it. Why? They sought it by works of the law and not by faith. What is it to seek righteousness by faith? Does that mean I'm seeking righteousness by my decision? Does that mean I'm seeking righteousness by what I choose or what I do? No, it's to seek it in Christ and to find it in Christ. That's the doctrine of God. And he said, I bear them record, they have a zeal of God. They're religious, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish one of their own, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. But he said, for Christ is the end, the finishing, the fulfillment, the completion, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you believe, that's a gift from God. And if you believe, you see that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's an evidence. But notice he says here, you've obeyed from the heart. In other words, it's the right, not only the right doctrine, but it's the right heart. Well, what's the big deal about that, preacher? Well, what does the Bible say about the natural heart? Of all men and women without exception by nature, as we're naturally born. Well, back over in Genesis 6:5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Somebody says, well, preacher, that's talking about those bad people back then. That couldn't be talking about me. I'm a Southerner. I'm a Baptist. I'm religious. Oh no, my friend, if you fail to see your natural heart in that condition, you haven't believed the right doctrine, you don't have the right heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, it tells us that the Word of God, now, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the Word of God the same as the doctrine of God? The teaching of God? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. cutting asunder, cutting through all the human sinful junk that clouds our view of ourselves and of God, and gets right down through the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what it does. Now, is that the power of the preacher? No. Is that your own inherent goodness figuring that? No. It's the power of God by His Spirit bringing us to a conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So what has to happen for us to truly believe Christ? Well, God has to give us a new heart. Isn't that right? In other words, as He said it to a man named Nicodemus, you must be born again. Or you can't even see this. You can't see the kingdom of God. See this right doctrine the way you should see it. You can't enter the kingdom of God without being born again, without being given life. You cannot hear it the way you need to hear it. But what does God say in the prophecy of Ezekiel? Ezekiel 36:26. He says, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit, life, will I put within you. Spiritual life. We're dead by nature. But He'll give us spiritual life. He'll raise us from the dead. That's what He does in the new birth. And I'll take away the stony heart, the unbelieving heart, the proud, unbending heart, out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh that's pliable and bendable, submissive. And I'll put My Spirit within you, and I'll cause you, He says, I'll cause you to walk in My statutes, and you shall keep My judgments, and you'll do them. That's what it takes. It takes a circumcised heart, and only God can do that. Spiritual. So back at our text, He says, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. In verse 18, He says, being then made free from sin. Now, Paul, in this chapter, he talks about two different freedoms that are in conjunction with one another. The first freedom he talks about is a legal freedom. And it has to do with justification. Look over at verse 7 of Romans chapter 6. He says, for he that is dead. Now, what death is he talking about? Well, Brother Randy read, when Christ died, He died not for Himself, but as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of a people. They died with Him. He represented us. He was our substitute. When He died, having their sins imputed, charged, accounted Him, He died for them. So much so in God's mind, when He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. When He arose again, we arose again. So that in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed, justified from sin. What does that mean? It means we're not guilty. That's freedom. Christ took my guilt. We're not cursed. That's freedom. Christ took our curse. We're not condemned. We cannot be condemned. Because God cannot lay anything to our charge. He charged our sins to Christ. We cannot be rejected. We have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. It's the very righteousness of God charged to our account. That's freedom. Isn't it? If you don't have Christ as your righteousness, if you don't have His blood washing away your sin, you're in bondage to the law. You're condemned, guilty, bound for eternal hell. So that's our legal freedom. That's the basis and the ground of our salvation right there. But it doesn't stop there. There's another freedom. Look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin. The word freed there is liberation. Liberated. How have we been liberated? We've been liberated from spiritual death. God has given us life from the dead. We've been liberated from the darkness of unbelief. He's revealed Himself, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ is our light. He's liberated us from being dominated and slaves to unbelief and brought us to faith in Christ. He's liberated us from our own works and brought us to repent and look to Christ. We still have unbelief to deal with. We still have the remaining vestiges of the old man, the flesh. But He's liberated us. The Son has made us free indeed. That's right, isn't it? The truth shall make you free, He said. I wonder if anybody confronted Him when He said, the truth shall make you free. Well, now, wait a minute now. The truth don't make us free. You do. My friend, the truth is Christ, and Christ is the truth. The doctrine is Christ, and Christ is the doctrine. You see that? Don't separate the two. And what's happened? You become the servants of righteousness. Now, what is a servant of righteousness? Does that mean that we can do righteous works that are perfect now? The answer is no. Does that mean we have some righteousness within ourselves? No. You know what it means? It means we believe in and follow Christ, who is our righteousness. We're slaves to righteousness. I know what righteousness is now. I didn't know before. I thought it was my decision, my free will, my works, my efforts. And I was a slave to it because I didn't know Christ. But now I know what it is. I know how, listen, I know the standard of righteousness. And my friend, it's Christ in the glory of His person and the power of His finished work. I have no righteousness but Him, and I serve Him. That's what a servant of righteousness is. It's a believer. It's a sinner saved by grace, struggling every day in the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. Realizing every day that our works never come up to snuff as far as the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ, but striving to give glory to God in what we think, say, and do because we love Him who first loved us, because we want to express our gratitude to Him. And you know what? Everything that we say concerning the glorious person, the finished work of Christ, we express it in doctrine. It's the only way we can. I can't express it to you by osmosis or no visions. It's all expressed through the doctrine that God has brought us under and brought us to believe from the heart by His power and His grace. The doctrine of Christ. All right.